Good afternoon, Cell Group. Welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel. This one is a difficult one to make a commentary on because you really need your Bibles open rather than just the Missalette. And if you have your Bible open at John's 6th chapter, if you start at verse 35 and look at that whole section from 35 to 47, that's part one of a two-part homily. The second part begins with verse 48 and continues to verse 59. Now, we'll come back to this, but the difficulty is when making a commentary about this is that in Sunday's Gospel, we had part of part one and part of part two. So for the sake of this commentary, I'm going to refer to the whole section that is in your Bible from 35 right through to 59. So, as I said, we've got a two-part homily, and what we're looking at is John's reflection on an event that happened in Jesus' life, where he had the multiplication of the loaves and fishes and the experiences that come up after that, which include John's reflections on the Eucharist and the mission of Christ. So it's almost like a homily. So the theme in part one is dealing with Jesus as the bread of life, and part two deals with eating the bread of life, that is, with having faith in Jesus. So we'll look at the text in the Missalette. Jesus has just said, "I am the bread of life," in verse 35. But in verse 41, the Jews complain about this because he said, "I am the bread come down from heaven." They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, son of Joseph?" You know, that old familiarity that stalks us all. You know, we take Jesus for granted very much. And here's Jesus trying to encourage them to have faith in him. We know his father and mother. How could he now say, "I have come down from heaven"? And Jesus said in reply, "Stop complaining to each other." Now, that word complaining would have echoes of the journey of the chosen people through the desert, and we're complaining to Moses. So complaining would have that sense of people on a journey, and this time it's a journey of faith. And as they go on the journey, they would complain and give off. So Jesus is saying, stop complaining. Almost like you'd talk to children. Stop whinging. "Oh, we're nearly there. Shut up." Anyway, "No one can come to me unless he is drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise him up at the last day." So this is part of that homily where he's saying, you can't really come to God through logic, through discussion, through science, through anything, unless you're drawn by the Father. It's the work of God to draw you to himself. And those who come to faith are people who allow themselves to be drawn by the Father. "And I will raise him up at the last day." So all during this, there's references to life, eternal life. We're inclined to think of eternal life as something in the future, after we die. But eternal life could be described as the quality of relationship which begins now in the present moment and which is indestructible. So it's a quality of relationship with Christ, eternal life. "I will raise him up on the last day." It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. That's from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 6:45. So this is also a characteristic of homilies in the first century. They always quoted other parts of the Bible. Not that anybody has seen the Father except the one who comes from God, and he has seen the Father. Very like that verse in John's prologue, chapter 1 of John's Gospel. I tell you solemnly, everyone who believes has eternal life. So once again, that eternal life, that relationship with Jesus that endures forever. And then the repeat of that verse, I am the bread of life, verse 48. I am the bread of life. That's the second time that occurs in this sixth chapter. Your fathers ate manna in the desert and they are dead. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven. So what happened in the Moses story, when they were going through the desert, escaping from Egypt, they were fed by manna. That prefigured and was perfected by this gift of Jesus himself. I am the bread of life. He is the one who feeds us with himself, who feeds us with his presence. In a Eucharistic sense, he is the one that comes to us in communion, comes to us in the Eucharist. But we have to feed on him, not just by digesting that host, but by feeding in faith on him and deepening our faith in him, and coming to him in different ways and allowing ourselves to be drawn by the Father. It's a whole process of relationship deepening. Think of friendship, think of marriage. These are good images to help us to think of how it is that Christ wants us to deepen his relationship with him. And the final verse in 51, I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world. So again, Jesus is saying, faith, deepen that relationship. It's through him and with him and in him that we will find life. Very, very strong language too. This is my flesh for the life of the world. And we'll hear next week how the Jews reacted to this, because their laws forbid the eating of flesh of human beings. And also the flesh, meat that had blood in it. So he says, drink my blood. So these were shocking words for them to hear. And I'm sure as they followed Jesus, they wondered, how the dickens are we going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? That's what he said. But at the Last Supper, we know how that became so easy for them. Anyway, verse 51, it belongs to that second part where Jesus is talking about having faith in him. So this eating and drawing life from him and all of that is deepening our faith, deepening our relationship with Christ. So we've got some thoughts to share, if you like. Wherever I've put them. Yep, here we are. Jesus gave the disciples a share in his faith. It says in the text, no one has ever seen the Father except the one who is from God. Has Jesus put a human face on God and God's love? So God's love for us today is mediated through one another. We each put human faces on God's love. How have other people been sacraments of God's love for you? And another thought, the way in which Jesus became a source of life for us was by giving himself. It is when we truly give ourselves that we can be life-giving to one another. If we do not give ourselves, what do we have to offer? How have you discovered the importance of self-giving in yourself or in others? And we'll finish with a prayer. God, our Father and Provider, whose Son has given his flesh for the life of the world, sustain your pilgrim church on its journey with the word of life and the bread of heaven. Draw us nearer to him in whose name we gather, that following his way of sacrificial love, we may come to the banquet of eternal life. Grant this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And God bless your work together.